You know, this week, as we've probably all seen coverage of Hurricane Dorian, whether it as it went through and decimated some of the Bahamian islands, or even as it's hitting the mainland America, just some of the utter devastation that's going through some of these parts. And I watched a compilation of different videos people were taking on their cell phones in the midst of some of these, a couple of the northern islands that were really hit hard, in the midst of this hurricane while it was happening, while they were trying to do whatever they could to find safety. I guess they say the storm surge was upwards of 23 feet in some areas of the lowland areas of this island. And people were seeking, these videos, seeking refuge wherever they could, on rooftops, in attics, any place that they could get above this storm surge. But, you know, in the midst of all of this destruction during this hurricane, all that these people could do, really, was just to hope. Now, of course, some were praying. Some were doing whatever they could to try to save themselves. But all that was really possible for those people at that point was just to hope and to wait and to try and not get swept away with the storm surge, just get swept away by the wind, as we heard some, you know, tragic story of a father losing his son to the wind as the son was like pulled away from him and probably eventually drowned. You know, that helplessness that many, many of those people have just recently gone through, that suffered through this storm, you know, it really highlights kind of the world that's going to befall, well, the entire world is what's going to happen in our soon future when Christ does return. You know, mankind will not be able to rely on himself at all. And nothing can prepare for the judgment that mankind is going to befall if those people aren't submitting to God. That same helplessness, that same hope that, well, maybe it's not going to reach to me. Well, you know, the same hope was probably, and that hopelessness, I should say, was probably felt amongst those in that perverse generation that during Noah's life. You know, people that did not and would not come to God suffered drastic and dire consequences. And that little, those videos that we see and some of that destruction that we see is just a foretaste of what's really going to happen to this world in our soon coming future. You know, it was commented that the Bahamians have building codes that are set for hurricane weather because over the years they've always been bombarded by so many, so often. But even with those codes, this strongest hurricane that's, I think, the second strongest to ever reach landfall on our side of the oceans, those codes, those houses were just completely wiped out, scrubbed off of the land. You know, I have a feeling these kinds of proclamations will only, or these kinds of disasters will only increase as judgment nears mankind. To the point that mankind, as God is hoping, mankind will stop looking to themselves, stop looking towards what they can do to better themselves, but instead to look to God for true salvation, to look to God for deliverance out of these terrible, terrible times ahead of us. Because God's will is that we all, that all of mankind does come to him, but of course, mankind does not follow after that desire. You know, our opportunity to escape judgment rests with each and every one of us today. In fact, our opportunity and the ability we have is expected of us. We are expected to be prepared for the day of the Lord, the day that God is judging mankind, based on the fact that God has given each of us that have ears and eyes to hear and see, that he has given each of us his spirit to understand these things. Ephesians 2, beginning of verse 8. Ephesians Ephesians 2 and starting in verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It is assumed that we will, or that those of us that have had our eyes open, that we will walk after God, that we will do those things that have been prepared for us, prepared for those that are following after God. And similarly, in 2 Timothy 2, and beginning in verse 20. But then in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. We are being prepared. There has been preparations for us, and it is part of our duty as those that have God's Spirit to continue in that, to prepare ourselves for what God has in plan. You know, if we are only reacting to those things that happen in our lives, if we are only reacting to the storms that we encounter in our lives instead of planning on its arrival, planning on those things that confront us as we go through our lives, we are going to be caught off guard, and we could lose not just our physical lives, but lose our eternal lives, lose the eternal rewards that we all hope and desire for. You know, spiritually speaking, we are subject to the same dangers if we are unprepared. The Bible's full of examples of that. And we can't simply hope that we won't fall down in our trials. We can't just hope that when we face dangers, when we face those sins that can burden us down to the point that we no longer want to follow after God, that we're just going to make it through. We have to be prepared. We have to be planning for trials. We have to be planning for what is expected of us in God's plan. You know, we must be ready. We must be practiced in our understanding in order to make it through these tumultuous times. And we find that understanding in the Bible. It's simple. We have a book in front of us to explain exactly how to prepare for God's plan. Similarly, like people have, of all the preparations people go through physically to try to save themselves from disasters, we have something that can save us from the ultimate spiritual disaster. 1 Thessalonians 5. And beginning in verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And that's a call to each and every one of us. We know what this time is, when Christ returns, what is going to be like. Unexpectedly. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. We cannot be surprised by the darkness that is encroaching upon us, any less so than being unprepared or ignoring the warnings that so many people are given and yet do not heed, and those that are end up being, and as we will find, as the death toll increases dramatically, that those people that were just washed out to sea because they did not heed all the warnings they could have. You know, passive Christianity has no place for God's chosen. It's imperative that we are actively pursuing and fulfilling God's will for each and every one of us. God is ready as we know, to give us eternity. Mark 10, verse 39. Mark 10, verse 39. They said to him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, and this is when the two of the disciples were trying to figure out if they could sit on either hand of, or either side of Christ. "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and my left is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it is prepared." And brethren, we have promises prepared for each and every one of us. But those promises come with a caveat. 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3 and verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." With meekness and fear, we have to come before God and be prepared. You know, brethren, the storm is on the horizon. That storm that is going to overtake mankind and that is going to humble mankind. We must be preparing for it then, brethren, ourselves daily, so for when this giant and this world-changing storm hits.